Tim, how are you?
Tony.
It's hot.
Yeah, I'm not complaining either, man.
Now, when it's this warm, will that keep you indoors, or you just is that business as usual?
Yeah, the dog and I'll cuddle up next to the air conditioner. No, I get out there in the rain, wind, or snow. It's like the mail people, you know.
Well, I wanted to get your take on a few items this morning. We had Senator Gretchen Whitmer on, and she introduced her sinking fund bill. Yeah. I wanted to get your take on that.
Well, you know, the schools have complained for years that their hands are really tied when it comes to raising local revenue, and people are out there going, sinking funds. What's, you know, is that the filling holes in the backyard at the playground? This is a mechanism whereby they can raise local money through millage and then earmark it for transportation, not for general operation stuff, but basically it would allow the schools, if this passes, and it's a question mark, to rearrange their money. They can take some money out of transportation that they're now buying buses, buy it with sinking funds, and they have some money left over to go into the operating funds. That's basically it.
What do you think is going to happen?
It's been around the track for a long time. The Chamber of Commerce has always opposed this thing. I think it probably has two chances.
We also had Representative Bill Rogers on this morning. He talked about his teacher tenure bill. What do you think about that?
I think they're going to vote on this thing in the House this week. It basically says that teachers have 5 years to prove themselves, and if they're not, if they flunked their evaluation 3 years in a row, they're out. Right now, it's 4 years, and the complaint about the system is that it just takes way too long, and it's too cumbersome to get rid of bad teachers. The MEA is not supporting this legislation. I think it goes a little too far, but I believe it will breeze through the Michigan House and likewise in the state Senate.
John Gallagher, the business reporter from the Detroit Free Press, I'm like the name dropper on the Gossam columnist. And he was on the program today, and he talked about how the Great Lakes has a lot of opportunity to be used in a better capacity than it does now, not only for its water, which it contains, you know, there are a lot of folks who need water, but for the importing and exporting of goods and services. What's your take on business growing in that area?
Well, I'm not an expert in that area. I always defer to John because he knows what's going on. I do know that coming down the road, and I don't know what it'll be, but our water, you know, the people out west, they have their eye on our water. And previous governors going all the way back to Mr. Milliken have been very protective of that, and to make sure that somebody doesn't stick a pipe in Lake Michigan and siphon it off, you know what I mean? We could probably make some money on that, but the fish would not be too happy, and the people with all those expensive cottages like you down in Holland, and, you know, you'd be in bad shape. So I'm not really an expert in that.
And that's an interesting question, Tim. I wonder what the process is for an entity to take water from the Great
Lakes. There's some hoops to jump through, and Stabenow and Levin over the years have tried to put more language in there that you just can't unilaterally do it. You need an act of Congress. You need the states to sign off the Great Lake Pack and all that good stuff. So there, it's tough to do, but you know what? If you're dying of lack of water, you'll do about anything, you know?
Did you learn anything new about the bridge over the last couple of days? Or I should say the proposed bridge?
Proposed bridge, yeah. There was a meeting yesterday convened by Dick Posthumus, who is the governor's lobbyist, about 30 different groups that have signed off with the governor on this. They had kind of a huddle, and he said to them, guys and ladies, I need your help here, but I'll tell you what, the governor's not going to get this one done by July 4th. If he does, it will be an amazing turnaround. Because there's just a lot of Republican opposition to this thing, and he's got to pick these guys off one by one, and he's not there yet.
Tim, 10 of 26 Republican senators are facing recall. Any of those seriously in danger?
Oh, I don't think so. But, you know, law of averages, you would think that maybe they might pick off one. But remember, all of those Republicans are in strong Republican districts. So even if you recall the current sitting Republican, the chances of another Republican winning the next election to fill the recall thing are pretty good. So you really haven't accomplished anything.
Senate Majority Leader Randy Richardville wants redistricting done by the end of June. You think he'll get what he wants?
They have the votes to do that if they want, and that one is a little more realistic. But that's pushing it pretty fast too. These guys are, you know, this is a whole new culture up here. With years ago, they would let redistricting just kind of hang out there forever. So I think they do have a shot at that one.
Another interesting story, I saw that an ombudsman, and I found this from the MERS newsletter, which you write for quite frequently, wrongly classified prisoners cost almost $14 million. What I find out in the grand scheme of things, when you had a $2 billion budget deficit, that means nothing. But it seems like more and more of these items are coming up that they are dealing with.
Well, this was an interesting study. The department is defending this classification, and just to explain to the folks that may not know what we're talking about here, when somebody goes into the prison system, they do a classification as to how bad of a crook are you. You know, do we send you off to solitary confinement where the cost is pretty cheap? All you do is lock them up in the door, or do we keep them in the general population? And what this report basically said is that we're misclassifying a lot of these prisoners, and we could save some money. I don't know if it's going anywhere. You know, I know the guys that chair the subcommittees on the budget for the prisons will take a look at this thing, and if there's a savings there, obviously they'll go after it.
What's going to be happening the next day or two in Lansing?
Well, we got the bikers in town today, I'm told. Is that right?
Yep.
So that's going to be our story for the TV folks, Channel 2 in Detroit and Channel 6 up here. It's always fun to have them up there. You know what? For people that participate in the democracy, these guys and ladies have been coming up here for over 30 years to get this repeal of the helmet law. Mm-hmm. And I think they're going to get it through the Senate maybe as early as today and probably through the House. The governor is a question mark. Well, we don't know what he's going to do.
You think he'd veto it?
I don't have a sense for that. I just don't know. I really don't know.
All right, Tim Skubick, thank you so much. Enjoy your day.
That was impressive. I know nothing, right?
I know nothing. Which you very rarely say. We got to give you props. Hey, and by the way, I saw that you were, via MERS newsletter, voted the most reliable reporter out there when it comes to politics. Congratulations.
Well, those were a lot of my relatives that voted for me, okay?
And I'll take that 20 as soon as you can get it to me.
There you go, man. Catch you later.